things. But in reality, we do know that we have no control whatsoever. But we know that Jesus lives tomorrow. And whatever happens, whether it is COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21, I mean, it just keeps, you know, there must have been 18 that has come before this COVID in order for this to be the 19th one, right? But you know what? God is in control. You know, a lot of nations have come and gone. And I don't say this lightly. I think, you know, if I did not have the faith that I have in God, I will never be able to be assured that even in the midst of all the storms, and believe me, I grew up in a war-torn country. I was not pampered. I know that, you know, when God is on your side, you feel it and you know it. Now, we've been doing Bible studies for the past few months, and we have covered the Ten Commandments, and people have been asking me if I'm going to continue in the month of July. Yes, I will, but I think we're going to take a break in the month of August. I need to take a break because, you know, the moment I close my eyes, scriptures are, you know, scriptures, Bible studies, all these things, you know, technology, it just overwhelms me. So I do need to rest my brain. Not for your sake, for my sake, and I need it, and so we're going to take a few weeks off in the month of August, and then what we're going to do in the month of July, the next two Wednesdays, we're going to start a new series, and some of you will be thrilled to know that we're going to start a series on the book of Revelation. And it is an important book. A lot of people, you know, are very afraid of the book. It is a scary book when you think about angels and demons and, you know, you almost feel like, you know, in certain chapters you're with Harry Potter, just moving along and there are animals and there are beasts and dragons and there are four horses and there is Jesus right there in the middle of all that. And we have John the Apostle. And all this was revealed on a prison island. I know it's a touristic place today. It's called Patmos Island. But back then, it used to be a prison where criminals were sent there basically to do hard labor and then eventually die. And John was sent there. Basically, he was the enemy of Rome. And simply because he was a Christian. You know, you are, in many ways, if you really think about it, as a believing Christian, you're automatically the enemy of the world. Because you cannot have two masters. You have to choose one. And the Christians back then, they really knew where they stood in their faith. And they just held very dearly to it. So we're going to go through the book of Revelation. I think it's written to four Christians and two Christians. Remember that the church, the angel, the Christ addresses the seven churches. The letter is addressed to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. So it was not addressed to pagans. It was not addressed to people of no faith. It was truly addressed to the churches. And the reason for, I think I've already started the book of Revelation Bible study here. I think I'm going to keep some for Wednesday, but let me just, for those of you who are on Zoom and Facebook, it's one of the reasons we want to cover it is because there are warnings for Christians. Jesus does not like lukewarm Christians, you know. He likes Christians who know they are sinners, they are constantly repenting, they are authentic. They know they are not perfect, but he does not look like lukewarm Christians where, you know, they are one way, one day, and another way the other day. So we're going to cover all that on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and then invite friends. It's very important. These are precious moments that we have together because it is through faith that we please God. And if you want to increase your faith, then you need to listen and hear and study scriptures. And which brings me to the topic of today. We're going to cover Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. And it covers basically the story of Philip. Philip was one of the very first deacons of the church, remember? Just to give you a review of where we are at. The church is growing at this stage. The apostles are doing a fantastic job. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The church is growing by different nationalities who are being converted. Some are of Jewish race and some are Gentiles. So the church is growing in Jerusalem, and as it's growing, there are growing pains as well, just cultural stuff. You know, when you mix different cultures in one building, I mean, just imagine, you know, my wife comes from a different culture than I do, and when we were first married, boy, I did not understand her. And we said, you know, whatever I've said, she did not understand, or she took it in a very different context than, and I, vice versa, because there was a cultural difference in certain things that we, the way we understood certain things, or when it came to cooking, I always won, but I think I'm gonna sleep on the sofa tonight. But there are many differences culturally that can create havoc within a family or within even a church. Now imagine the first century church growing by cultures that are different to theirs. So immediately people in Jerusalem, the Christians in Jerusalem, the converted Christians in Jerusalem were taking care of their own, and they were leaving the Greek widows aside. They were not taking as good care as they were doing to the Hebrews, and immediately problem arose, and thank God that, you know, it was dealt biblically. The apostle says, look, we cannot take care of this problem. Our job is to preach the gospel, yet at the same time they have asked the people to select seven individuals, to select individuals to take care of the widows, and we know that the seven who were elected, they were non-Hebraic individuals, and one of the guys' name was Stephen, which we covered his story last week, the very first martyr of the church who stood up for truth and declared the truth, and eventually he is going to be stoned to death simply for standing for the truth. And yet he knew that as he closed his eyes here on earth, he was going to open them in the presence of his heavenly Father and Jesus being on his side. So he had no fear of death, because death was, in a way, opened the doors for him to be in the presence of his Lord. And there we know also that there was a man by the name of Saul, which eventually is going to become Paul, and he was fully approving the death and the persecution of Christians. Now last week I also told you that, you know, when Jesus gave his commission, when he commissioned his disciples, he said basically go to all nations, right? Start in Judea, then go to Samaria, and then to all nations and baptize them. Now up to this point, as of last week when we were covering this, the Christians were basically situated in Judea, and they were getting very comfortable because people were getting converted right and left, and somehow they said, you know, there's a lot of work here to be done. And this is the danger when we kind of rationalize the gospel and say we're very happy where we are because there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and little by little we just drift away from what God wants us to do. God specifically told them, go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And when Stephen dies, of course, Christians are being persecuted now by the Jews and the Romans, so they scatter. And we're told in Acts chapter 8, the first 25 verses that we've read last week, that Philip, who was also a deacon, he ends up going to Samaria, north. He is fleeing persecution. And where does he go? He goes to Samaria, the very place where Jesus wanted the gospel to be preached. Remember, he says, go to Judea and Samaria. Now, sometimes God will put us in places that we don't want to be, but that's the very place that where he wants us to be. And if we don't go, and he loves us dearly, that if we do not obey his voice, somehow he will find a way to drag us or to bring us there in style. And Philip is brought to Samaria because of persecution, and there he preaches the gospel. Now remember, the Jews hated the Samaritans, but God loved the Samaritans, no matter how sinful they were. For God loves the sinners. He doesn't like perfect people. I mean, I shouldn't say he doesn't like perfect people. He wants perfect people to repent and acknowledge their sin first. And he loves everybody. And then therefore, you know, Philip preaches the gospel and people are getting converted. Now imagine, there's no mission committee in the church. There's no budget in the church. There's nothing in the church. And God is providing all the needs of the church. This is my God. And I hope you could easily say, this is my God too. God, the God who calls you to follow him, is the God who provides you with all the needs far beyond your imagination. He provides for your needs, not for your wants. You know, I know some ministers want jets to fly with. Some, you know, I don't want to go through that story. It was all over the news. He provides the needs of his church abundantly and sometimes last minute. He hangs up, you know, it's amazing. He wants us to cling on that faith. He says, do you believe me? We say, yes. Remember how many times Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Peter said, of course I love you. Then he says, do you love me, Peter? He says, yes, I love you. And he got offended eventually. And then we know that he denied him three times. You don't deny somebody whom you love dearly, right? But Jesus knew that, you know, Peter was a human being. And sometimes what God is doing, he's testing our faith, even at that very last moment that we have nothing left but faith in Christ. Never give up on faith in Christ, because Christ is always trustworthy. Everything will fall apart, but not my Christ. And I hope you could claim those truths for you today, because it will make all the difference the way you live, the way you look at life, and the way you look at closed doors in your life. You know, those closed doors that God is closing in front of you, one day you're going to turn back and say, thank you, Jesus, for closing those doors. I know that I was trying to open them, and I was trying to do everything in my power to just go right through these doors, but thank you for closing them, because you've protected me from myself, and you've protected me from my future. God always leads us to places, number one, to bring him glory, but also to be a testimony to the world that he lives and his son lives, and because of him, others can live too. Now, Philip knew all this. He was growing in his faith. He was in Samaria, and people were getting converted. They were being filled of the Holy Spirit. Then there's, in the midst, whenever you see God at work, there will be always people will come and make noise. You've got a person like in the name of Simon who comes and wants to buy the Holy Spirit. Remember that story last week? And of course, we cannot purchase the gift of God. It is freely given. But it is also, historians say, that it is there that cults and heretics started growing, because Simon, when he wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit for himself, in order for him to look cool, he started a new religion. It becomes about the person's glory versus God's glory. Now today we're going to continue reading that story. And it is from, I'm going to put it on the screen for you. There are many things going on here, but just totally ignore. And this is the screen that you need. And this is what we read. It's Acts chapter 8, verses 26 till the end. Now, Philip is in Samaria, remember? And it is there, an angel of the Lord appears to him. Have you ever seen an angel? You're looking at one? No, you're not looking at one. Believe me, I'm not an angel. But it is there that, you know, an angel of the Lord appears. An angel are ministering spirits who do appear to people. They carry a message from God. Do angels exist today? Absolutely. Are they still ministering in the world? Absolutely. And sometimes these angels, the Bible says, they're going to appear in human forms, and we might not even recognize at times that we are entertaining an angel. But also in the same way, it says, Scripture tells us that even the devil can appear in an angel in an angelic form. Remember, the devil is an angel, but a fallen angel. So we need to have discernment. And that's why we need to know scriptures. Christians must know scriptures. They have to read scriptures. They have to grow in faith through scriptures. Not everything is all sufficient. Scripture is all sufficient, because only scripture has the road to salvation. It is only scripture that tells us that salvation is through Christ. Spirit of God works through scriptures. Not everything is sufficient, but scripture is all sufficient. Oh yeah, good works is good, other stuff are good, but it's not going to save us. Going to church is good. Don't get me wrong, but the church is not going to save us. It will nurture us if it preaches the gospel. But it's going to be a waste of time if you're going there doing certain things just to keep a culture or a community. Believe me, the days are counted here on earth. What we do with our lives really count. So do not waste your time doing nothing. Immerse yourself in scripture and grow in faith and obey it. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the Gaza today that we have in Palestine area. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandak, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, which is modern day in Ashdod, by the way, and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. I love this story. I really do. Because one of the things that we're told in this story is that when you are a believing Christian, yes, you have your routines every day, but God can change your routines in an instant, in a second. And are you ready to follow him? Remember Abraham in the Old Testament in chapter, to be more specific, in Genesis chapter 12. Now Abraham was a wealthy man. He had everything going on for him. He had sheep, cattle. He had Sarah as a wife. Life was not complicated. He had his family all around him. And one day, God says, Abraham, get up and go to the land that I'm going to show you. And Abraham obeyed. Now he half obeyed because he really did not travel all the way. And he says, go and take your family, but he takes his father in as well. So it's a complicated thing, but then eventually he reaches where he reaches. But God intervened in Abraham's life, and he says, get up and go. And Abraham got up and go. Sometimes, you know, not everybody is called to get up and go. But certain people certainly are called to do something for God. But God intervenes in our lives and asks us to do certain things for him. And we need to really be ready to obey him and do it. Sometimes we are embarrassed. Sometimes we are shy. Sometimes we are thinking, well, what would people think of us if we did this and that? Well, it doesn't matter what people think of you, because at the end of the day, if you really love Jesus, you want to do these things for his glory. If you love your parents more than you love Jesus, if you love your children more than you love Jesus, when if you love your spouses more than you love Jesus, you have a problem and I have a problem. Jesus must come first and only first in our lives, and everything else shall follow. We should never put anything before him. And when we honor him in such a way, we're going to see great miracles. Great things happen within our lives. The teaching of scriptures is very important. And that's what Philip is telling us through the story. The Spirit of God is telling us through the story of the eunuch. Now here's Philip sitting, doing nothing. Well, he's evangelizing in Samaria. He could have easily said, look, things are so good in Samaria. Let me build a building. Let me just start a church. And let me just do things here. But no, what happens? An angel appears to Philip and he says, go. And he doesn't argue. At this stage, when God works in somebody's life so much, then when God intervenes and tells us something, we're just like fools. We just follow. Obviously, we have to test the calling. But here Philip just goes. He goes where? He goes to God puts him on a road in a desert. There's no water, there's nothing. And Philip at this stage, he's got no clue what will happen. He's just on the road. Sometimes, do you feel that God puts you in a place, you've got no idea where you are heading? It just seems you are a traveler, you're just walking and walking, and you don't know your destiny. God knows the destiny. Sometimes it's not important for you to know, because if you know it, you're going to wreck it. You're going to destroy it. You're going to come up with theories of how to make things happen. In life, people ask me, you know, what is your plan for the church in 5 months or 6 months? I say, I don't want to sin like that. I say, yeah, I have a general idea, but I don't want to write anything in concrete, because God can change things every day, and I just want to stay here and obey Him. My job is to proclaim the good news of Jesus in season and out of season. You see, that is our purpose. So when we are planning for things for tomorrow, yeah, plan, but always say, if God wills it, because God might not. So here Philip goes on the road to the desert, and then eventually, as he's walking, he's got no clue where he's heading, except he's heading south towards Gaza. It is the Spirit of the Lord intervenes again. And he says, I want you to go and stay next to that chariot that you see. Now, remember, Philip did not know who was in the chariot. We know, because Dr. Luke tells us in Scripture that there was a very important individual in this chariot. A very important man, a eunuch from Ethiopia. Now, why eunuch? Well, eunuchs were, you know, they were treasured species by their kings and queens. They were operated on so that they could not have children or marry. And they were given a lot of responsibilities. And here this eunuch was the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia. And why was he in Jerusalem? Well, we don't know all the details, but we do know that he was there to worship. Now, maybe there was an interest in him. Now, there were many other gods to worship. Ethiopians were not believers in any way, shape, or form when you go back to their history. But here, this eunuch was interested in the God of the Israelites. There must have been something that dragged him or got him to go, you know, 500 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And there, we are told that he ends up, he worships, but then he ends up with scriptures in his hands. Maybe it was a gift that was given to him. Maybe he purchased those parchments. And in the chariot, he was reading scriptures. Now, I do know a lot of people come and say, Pastor, I read scriptures, but I don't understand anything. Whenever I hear those words, I'm reminded of eunuch's words. The eunuch was reading scriptures. Isaiah, you know, we all like sheep have gone astray. He was talking about Jesus' crucifixion and how he's going to be neglected. And as Philip comes next to the chariot, remember, he was not just one person. He had an entourage with him. And he has a conversation. He says, what are you reading? Philip says. It's always good to start conversations with people, don't you? Some people say, well, I'm not going to interfere. You know, like, it's not my problem. I love rocking the boat. Whenever I'm in London, I go to the subway. And when you are in an English subway, everybody is doing something. They are ignoring one. They try to do their best to ignore one another. Everybody's behind. They hide behind their newspapers or behind their iPhones. Everybody is for themselves. And what I do, I open my mouth and say, so where are you going? They don't know how to react when you start conversations with people. They're embarrassed. They say, well, I'm going to London, you know, and back to their, you know, back to their little routines. People are scared. You know, even, you know, you start conversations with people you don't know and see how amazing that is. My kids are always embarrassed of me, especially when we go to restaurants and I start talking. Dad, shut up. You don't know them. Just be quiet. You don't know. You're embarrassing us. And I love embarrassing my kids. I think it's a gift from God. You know, parents must embarrass their kids day in and not really, but I talk to people, whether I know them or not. I mean, what's the worst they could do? Yeah, they could spit in your, you know, if they're a waiter, if they don't like you, they might spit in your, you know, but that's good for your immune system, I hear. Right? You never do what I do. You won't get away with it. But, you know, start a conversation and always lead it to faith. You know, I do remember, I've shared this story with you a number of months ago. I was in Scotland, and And there was a waiter, you know, he was a big guy, very big guy, with a lot of tattoos. Lots of tattoos. And I just admired his tattoos, you know, and as he was serving, he says, "Man, you've got a nice tattoos." And he started explaining. And I said, and my very next question was, I said, "Do you go to church?" He was shocked. And my friend, who was an Englishman, very embarrassed. You don't talk like this to people. He says, and then we had a conversation. It ended up being a beautiful conversation and evangelistic conversation. I don't know where he's at. I pray for the guy. But this is our job, is to proclaim it, to ask people where they are in their faith. And you know, nine might reject this, but that one can make all the difference in the world. You know, I would not be here today if it wasn't for missionaries coming all the way from Sweden to my school and telling me about Christ. So play your role. What's the worst can happen? You can fail. And it's better to fail trying than succeed by not trying. You'll never succeed, right? So here Philip asks him, "What are you reading?" The eunuch says, "Well, I'm reading scriptures." "What are you reading?" And before you know it, Philip, who had no plan to be with a treasurer that day, he ends up sitting in the chariot with the eunuch. It's amazing how God opens doors when he wants us to be in certain places in life. He's the only one who can open all the doors. So here's Philip, who was in Samaria. He was just dealing with poor people. And in a day or in a few hours, he's sitting with a very wealthy man who wants to know scriptures. And he says, "What are you reading?" Well, he says, "You know, this is what I'm reading." And it was from Isaiah. And Philip takes a moment and he teaches him and he tells him what that passage means. The reason Philip was able to teach all this, because he himself knew scriptures. Now, the Bible was not written, the New Testament was not written, but they experienced Christ through the Old Testament, these Christians. And the eunuch that day becomes a Christian. It is the eunuch who wants to be baptized. He says, can I be baptized? And of course they go, they find a piece of lake or whatever it was, they go in and he is baptized. Now you would think that Philip might just continue the journey to Ethiopia. No, but the Spirit, it tells us that the Spirit comes and takes Philip away from there. How does that happen? Well, let me tell you, have you ever watched Star Trek? Beam Me Up? Well, before Star Trek, God was beaming up people all the time. The Spirit of God comes and takes people, and he's able to take them from one place to the other. It is a supernatural act, and only God can do it, because he is a supernatural God. See, sometimes, I don't know, we live in a world where we've put God in our pockets, and we just bring him up whenever we need him. My God, and hope you could claim this, our God is a supernatural God. He is more than capable of doing the impossible. The word impossible does not exist in his vocabulary. It just doesn't. And with God, all things are possible. But be careful. Be careful what you ask. Ask only for things that are going to bring him glory. And do everything for his glory. Now, historians tell us, as well as the early writings of Christians tells us, that Ethiopia was introduced to Christianity because of this eunuch. And remember, the Ethiopians are one of the very first Christians. You know, go and look at their churches. They have carved churches out of rocks and so on. And then Philip is taken to another place. I mean, there was no place for Philip just to settle down and say, "Hey, I'm going to build a church here." No, you're not in the business of building churches. I want to use you to declare the gospel wherever I put you in. See, we all have gifts, and we cannot all be Philips, you know. We cannot all be this, or we cannot be Apostle Paul's. God has given us gifts. Each and every one of us has a gift. Question that we need to ask, are we using them? Are we using them, or are we too busy doing life here on earth and just doing life on earth? Well, some people come and say, "Well, I don't know what to do. I'm not good at speaking." Oh, Moses said the same thing. Remember Moses? "Oh, I don't know how to talk," said somebody else. Well, The God who sent you is the God who equips you. And he wants to use our foolishness. You don't have to be strong to make everything come together. It is the very weakness that God wants to use for his glory. Because I want him to shine and we want us to decrease. What's the worst thing people can do? They can reject you. They can say, I don't want to do anything with this guy. He is a loony. I better be a loony for the Lord than a genius for this world. I mean it. You know, if our destiny is heaven, we better prepare for it every day. And let's make sure that we're not selfish. We're telling it to everybody. Some are going to accept it. Some are going to utterly reject it. That's not our job. We always need to reach out and say our piece and never be discouraged when they reject you. Remember, they rejected Jesus. They did not only reject him, but they put him on the cross. Philip obeys, Philip travels, Philip preaches. Philip's job will end soon. And you might say, well, who else is going to take in the leadership? Who's going to take this gospel out? Then you will see out of nowhere, this persecutor of the church becomes the hero of the church. God will use foolishness to humble the wise. And God will choose one of the most learned Pharisees to become the ambassador of his kingdom. Now with human, this is an impossibility. Humanly speaking, this was an impossibility. How can you use somebody who hates so much to be a spokesperson for Jesus and God? But God is amazing. God does things that we don't understand. Be ready for him. Be ready to be used by him. And today, maybe you just take some time. Say, Lord, my life is messed up. My life is, every day is messed up. You know, you add a puppy to it in the house, it's just a chaos. Did I say that loud? Yeah. We love puppies, by the way. But in all that mess that we all have it because it's part of being human. Just think of this. Just take a moment. Say, Lord, use me. Here I am. Use my weakness. But also give me this heart to learn more of you. Because God will not give you more tasks until he teaches you more of himself. And as he teaches you more of himself, he's going to give you more tasks for you to do for him. So join those Bible studies. I don't want just people to come. I want people genuinely to come to hear the word and grow in it for their own sake. Not for my sake. If you come or you don't come, I'm just, you know, it won't make any difference to me. It's the message is still going to be proclaimed, whether they're one person or whether they're 100 people. That message is going to be proclaimed. But what is good when we invite people to hear the word of God, because the word of God is capable of changing people. To God be the glory. Amen. Now we have a time to bring our offerings to God. Now for those of you who would like to come, we are not taking this plate around. You come and just drop your gold and silver. No, whatever you want to drop here. This is the basket. For those of you who give online, you could visit the website, thecrk.com, and make your offering to the Lord. Remember, everything we have, even our own breath, comes from the Lord. And what we give back to him, it's already his. So God is testing us of how we are living our life and if we're grateful for the things that he gives us. So give always generously to the Lord's work. And I'm really proud of, can I say proud? I guess you can say proud of the number of ministries that we're carrying through this church. You know, whether it's helping missionaries financially, whether it's feeding people in Hackensack, New Jersey, especially those who have been affected by COVID-19. Just recently, the country of Lebanon has been going through turmoils economically. We're helping 50 families there. Is a little church here. We don't make big announcements. We don't write big newsletters, but we do this for the glory of God. But maybe you need to know these things, and we want to continue doing these things. You do your part, and we'll do our part. Our last song is At the Cross, and we're going to sing it together.
secrets and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, my life, I love you, I love you. Love and red in my sin wash white, I thought to you, are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrendered my life. I need all of you, I need all of you. Yeah, your love ran red in my sin washed white. I owe all to you, I owe all to you. Here my hope is found.
Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with all of you and your loved ones, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, and as I always do, this is our little coffee hour. We ask people to come here if they want to say hi, and you know, this is the time for you to come and say hi to your friends if you want to do that. But I want to thank you for joining us, whether you joined us via Facebook or, you know, or live, or both are live, I guess, right? Or via Zoom. It's been great having you. I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday for our Bible study. It's going to be wonderful. It is really going to be wonderful. I love